just think what it is in our spiritual world. Significant in terms of the Pentecostal revival, what God has done. And it has caused praise and worship to rise to God like never before. Never before in previous centuries do you have praise and worship like we have today. With the help of technology, praise and worship has abounded even more among God's people. Third encounter, which is beginning and going to begin even at the end of the 20th century, is in verse 14. Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat of the bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her." Do you notice verse 14, a new relationship begins? Now Ruth is invited to the table of Boaz. But yet it's not the marriage supper yet, because that is the next chapter. Next two chapters, chapter 4, the marriage. But yet there's something unique here. Ruth comes right to the table. Now if you remember, we taught on the seven feasts of Israel. The seven feasts of Israel. And how we are now in the Feast of Trumpets, which represent praise and worship. And we are moving into the Day of Atonement. And so it's about that time that is in chapter 2. We are now in chapter 2 of Ruth, prophetically. But notice the climax that is happening here in chapter 2 is that there is some level of communion. Ruth not only listened, saw, and drank. Now she ate bread that is specially made from Boaz's table. In other words, there is a significant move of God that is coming forth that will bring God's people to a deep level of communion. But yet, it will not be that last move yet. My friend, this that is going to happen in the 20th century, in the decade of the 90s, is not the last move yet. The last move you will see happening after we pass into the 21st century. Some of you are saying, "You mean we're going to pass 2080? Of course. But I thought Jesus is coming before 2080. Where in the Bible did he say that? Remember this, if anyone, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, excuse me, that's your name, I'm not talking about you, predicts that Jesus is going to come, like for example, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming in September 21st, 1988, and then he changed that to 89, I wonder why he didn't put any 91. If any... In Malaysian, we say, any, you know, Akal Ahmad Ramasamy comes to you and says, "I know exactly when Jesus is coming." Even writes a book about it, 1,000 pages long. Don't believe it. You know why? If Jesus himself doesn't know the day and the hour, how can anybody else know? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus himself said, the Lord Jesus Christ, capital L, capital J, capital C. The Lord Jesus Christ says, only the Father knows. So whichever man claims to know the hour, the date, and the time, his claiming is greater than Jesus. He must be very smart. Well, he must be bigger than Jesus now. Where is your throne? Slightly higher? No, don't believe those things. See, Christians must not be so naive.
They don't read the Bible.
And guess what? A lot of Christians buy that book, and some people, you know, who were so frightened when it was September 20th. And they really panic. Some people are ready to sell everything they have and go out and buy a white robe and climb up on some high mountain somewhere, waiting with a Bible in their hand. But on September 22nd, they were still there. And guess what? They couldn't get back to their normal life because now they sold everything. What you're going to do with a white robe? It's getting dirty up on the mountain. Anybody who claims to know the day, time and hour is a false prophet. We will know at the most the season. But no man should be able to know the day, hour or time. We will only know the season. Now, when I say that, that doesn't mean some of you are going to sit there and say, well, he says Jesus is not going to come under 21st century. We can relax now. Hey, let's go and eat, drink and be merry. Now, I didn't say that so that you have the attitude. I believe that we have to live ready for Jesus to come anytime. But what I'm saying is in the line of what I am sensing in my spirit. I don't say that with that says a lot. I say I perceive in my spirit. But I do know and I do sense in my spirit there will be a lot of people who frighten others. Just when 2000 AD comes, there may be suddenly hundreds of books coming out. You know, all of them sometimes bestsellers. You know, prove that, you know, 2000 AD is the day. But it will not be. Praise God, we got a signal now. So, it won't be. Because there's a lot of things that God wants to do. But don't wait until, say, I'm going to wait until Jesus comes. You know, then I get my life right with God. Wait until the trumpet sounds. I quickly say, Lord Jesus, thank you. Forgive my sin. I come go to you. Right? No. He's going to come in the twinkling of an eye. There's not enough time to pray. How fast do you twinkle your eye? That's all. By the time you hear that trumpet roll, you know, you're going to say, and we'll all be gone. We'll wave goodbye to you with your mouth open. There's not enough time. And anyway, it's good to start living for Jesus today. You get all the blessings and benefits. But here, we have, you notice in chapter 2, the third encounter with Boaz, which brings her to a closer communion. And notice, with closer communion, there is a bigger release of revelation. You notice what Boaz said. And that is going to happen in this decade. This is where we are. Boaz says, especially he gives the command in verse 16, verse 15 and 16, let her glean even among the sheaves. You know what he's saying? Let her even come right to where you have all the nicely tied up bundles of harvest, and let her even pull a bit here and there. In other words, God is going to reveal to us some of those deep things that were hidden from previous generations. The totality of all the revelations the church has discovered from the beginning of the book of Acts until now. And more things. Now, when I say revelation, please understand my definition is it must be in line with the Word. Anything that doesn't line up with the Word, you can throw it out. But he gave a second statement in verse 16. Purposely drop some extra for her. So all the men were carrying all those things. When Ruth was coming near them, they dropped one bundle. You can imagine the bundles of sheep. And I mean, this rule suddenly said, my job is now so easy. You know, from the first encounter, where she has to struggle, you know, per square meter, she may only find two. Now, per square meter, she find one bundle. Ooh, bundles. They purposely drop it all over the place. Now, it's so easy to get revelations. That is the move you're going to see in the 90s. Revelations flowing like never before. Understanding of the
Baptism in the Spirit, understanding of the message of God, understanding of prosperity, understanding of all the different healing realms, all the different anointings, all the different realms are going to combine together in our days. There's going to be an increase in the understanding of the Word. That's the move that's coming forth. And there will be a deep communion with God like never before, sitting with Boaz, partaking of parched bread. In other words, specially cooked. You see, parched bread represents rhema, different from gleaning. Gleaning represents things that you got to really get back and understand and cook and break it down. A parched bread is things that are broken down so simple for you, you could just take it and digest it. It's not raw like the gleanings. And in all her total gathering, the counting in verse 17, she has one ephah of barley. And one ephah of barley, about one ephah in verse 17. Now that measurement is even placed there for a reason. In verse 23, it gives you a sort of summary. She stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest. Notice there are two harvests, the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. You know why? They both represent the early rain and the latter rain. You notice in James chapter 5, I'm not turning now to save time. James chapter 5 talks about how the farmer patiently waits for the early rain and the latter rain. In Israel, the early rain falls just before the planting season. The latter rain falls just before the harvest season. See, it wets the ground and then they can sow. And then it sort of wets the grain just before the grain comes. It wets the plant before it needs all the nutrition to produce the grain. That's the latter rain. And it says, both the early rain and the latter rain shall come in our days. That will take place, you will notice, in that third encounter. But you haven't seen that fourth encounter, which is reserved for that period when Jesus is about to come back. Very close to when he's about to come back. That is the period when many prophets have said that people will see the glory of God literally on you. Something like the world has never seen. That's in Reserve, chapter 3. You know what has happened in chapter 3 now? Very close to marriage. The bride is very close. You notice the bride did three things in verse 3. Now, everything Naomi always instructs. Naomi represents the Holy Spirit, always teaching Ruth what to do. So that tells us we've got to keep close to the Holy Spirit in order to know what exactly to do in our last days. The Holy Spirit will teach us methods, organizations, all the various things, how to do it. In chapter 3, in verse 3, three things you must do. Wash yourself. Now, washing is already close to perfection because in Ephesians chapter 5, it talks about the church being perfected through the washing of His Word. Right? So there's a great level, washing. That's very close, going to become the bride already. Number one, washing. Number two, anoint yourself. Put on the best perfume. Then number three, your best garment. Everything is best here. The best washing, the best anointing, the best garment. And then, you go there secretly. This Naomi is smart. So you can imagine, here is Ruth coming. She smells like a flower.